The following podcast is brought to you on behalf of the Saracen Supporters Association and is not an official product of Saracens Limited. Content provided voluntarily by our guests and contributors are of their own opinion, which may change over time and should not be taken as fact, particularly as the podcast hosts are regularly talking drivel anyway. If you've got some drivel of your own you'd like to share, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Fezcast_SSA. You can search Facebook for the Fezcast, or you can email fezcast.ssa@outlook.com.
You're listening to the Fezcast. Listening to the Fezcast.
Hi, Alex Osterbury here, Director of Rugby for Saracens Women. You're listening to the Saracens Fezcast.
This is the Fezcast.
Well, welcome everybody to our fifth and final show of the week. And I am personally, I'm just about ready to finish this. It's been a labour of love this week. Interviewing people, recording stuff, putting shows together. Thanks to Barry, who's joining us, or Dr. Strange, as we are calling him now, because it's Fezcasters assembled this evening for today's Friday, whatever it is. I'm the Hulk. I'm in my Bruce Banner stage at the moment, but it could easily be shirts ripped off and turning green at some point. And then we've got Captain Saracens, Matt, and four, Sam Norris. We call him four because he's just run up the stairs and he's knackered. So he's obviously very four with his lisp and everything. But hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are you? Have you enjoyed the shows that we put out this week?
I've not listened to any of them.
Has anyone listened to any of them?
It's been keeping me happy on my little 15-minute commute into the office every day. It's been great. I think we should do it every week.
Oh, well, volunteered, Sam. You could take next week's shows if you like. But yeah, no, I've already enjoyed doing it. I mean, obviously, missing out the scoop on Kelly's departure and interviewing him, not knowing this, and just talking about everything other than Kelly's career. But thanks to Barry for jumping in and helping me with that tribute to him. And then chatting to Theo and Toby was brilliant. Really enjoyed that. And Kieran from Sale as well. Superb to talk to him. We're going to do this show in two parts. We've got some parish notices to get through, shall we say, before we get into the main bones of our hopes and fears and our thoughts about the final coming up in part two. But yeah, part one, Matt, you've been to see a different sport. You've been to see the girls, the Mavericks, play netball recently.
I have. I should say I picked a brilliant week to be really, really busy and to leave you to do absolutely everything, didn't I? Sorry, mate. Well done.
You'll buy me a pint on Saturday to make up for it.
I've fired you, definitely. I mean, that pint, that's about 15 quid's worth as well, isn't it? So there we go. But yeah, no, I Monday night, I had promised a few people at the Mavericks that I'd make sure I get to at least one match per season, and did realise that this was the very last home fixture. So made sure I went. It was good to go as well, actually, because Sasha Corbin, who we spoke to at the start of the netball season, after 10 years as captain of the team and many more as a general player, is retiring. And it's their Jackson Ray. It's the Mavericks version of Jackson Ray who's retiring. And it was a very, very nice occasion. A few little tributes to her, a few awards given out at the end of the season. It was good to see some of the Saracens women's rugby players as well turning out to watch there. Unfortunately, did end in defeat to Bath, so hopefully that's not a premonition of anything for coming up. But and quite an odd occasion as well, because Sasha's sister Kadeen, who was playing for the Mavericks, was also playing for Bath, and pretty much in the latter stages of the game sealed the victory. So kind of spoiled the party for her own sister, really. But it's I had made a few comments that as a sport to watch, netball, I mean, it just makes you out of breath, sweating, heart palpitations. It's one of the most physically draining sports, I think, to watch, barring squash, bizarrely. I wouldn't last 2 minutes playing netball. And honestly, I don't understand half the rules, but it's still really, really entertaining. So definitely Saracens fans out there, just give it a go. Go and watch the Mavericks. It's a good laugh. So get yourself down there next season.
And I mean, Matt admitting to palpitations and sweatiness watching.
I knew you were going to come out.
That's almost as big. That's almost as big a admission as me stating my levels of playing number eight to Toby Knight yesterday. But you know, I got a little bit starstruck there, I suppose. But yeah, moving back into the game, Robbie. You mentioned Saracens Women there, Matt. The big news this week from Saracens Women, obviously, had a bottom up in front of the beak, said sorry. So it's taken a reasonable slap on the wrist, quite rightly. And I think myself and Joe discussed this at the time. At the time, it was apparently an insinuation of cheating. Wasn't quite that. I mean, she's just whinged a little bit about a decision. Happens all the time. And I think, Sam, they dealt with it in the right way, haven't they?
Yeah, by the looks of things. I think you can always measure a lot of this kind of stuff by the reaction of others. And I think Twitter's always a good hotbed for that kind of stuff. And everyone seems to sort of be on the same page that everything was kind of justified there. So, and I think, you know, look, we all know, and I know that you don't necessarily agree with it, Jez, about the whole, if you say sorry, you get, you know, your game's deducted and all that kind of stuff. But in this instance, it seems to have worked out right, I think.
Yeah, indeed. And hopefully she'll learn from that and other players will learn from it as well. And perhaps just have a count of five before you say anything or whatever in that situation. The other big news coming out of the club, though, Barry, great news. Ivan signed another contract. Is it for 2 years, I think, if I'm right? But yeah, he's staying at the club for the foreseeable future. And I know all of us here, and when we do the player of the year, votes and everything, we know that Ivan's going to be right at the top. And indeed, Kelly mentioned it on the interview I did with him, how much the coaches have been impressed with him, and he's been rewarded with a new contract, Barry.
Yeah, cracking news. I mean, we've been talking on here quite a bit about players. Are players leaving? Are they staying? Who's out of contract and what have you? And it's come late, but it's very, very welcome that he is staying for, as we say, another 2 years, which will be 4 years minimum. He has improved so much from when he first came here. It's just not true. And if we can get even another 10% improvement on where he is now, he's going to be one heck of a player. Does anyone know if he qualifies for England yet?
Well, that was the question I was just about to ask as well, because, I mean, looking at him, I mean, how old is he? He's born 1995, so he's only, 28, which is whippersnapper of a boy still. And I mean, you know, Ben Youngs is still playing for England at 63 or however old he is. So, I mean, you know, if he does qualify, you know, I would imagine as well, Matt, that somebody in South Africa must be looking at it and thinking, is he worth a look at? Because South African rugby don't have too many problems with picking overseas players. You would have thought Razzie or the coaching staff there might have been having a look at him. But if they haven't, and he does become available for England, He's got to be in the thoughts of somebody, hasn't he?
You'd think so, yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to work out, because he has got South Africa caps, and I'm just trying to think of the timing of those. It's a three-year stand down from international rugby. So I would say he would be eligible for England, but yeah, it depends on residency and things. So, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if South Africa are now looking at him, and you'd think on current form, he'd certainly be making a squad for a World Cup. But I suppose there's not a lot of international fixtures for him to really stake his claim. So that'd be interesting to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, a couple of injuries in that key position and could well be in somebody's thoughts for both sides. 2018 was when he played, I think. So, there we go. Talking about South African-born players, one who did play for England and was brilliant for England as well was our captain, Brad Barrett, the man who's run through more brick walls than I think is possible. The evil Knievel of the rugby world, perhaps, but about time. I honestly thought he was in the Premiership Hall of Fame. He should have been in the Premiership Hall of Fame years ago, Sam, shouldn't he? But he's been called in along with Tom Youngs and Matt Banahan. So three great players there in the Premiership Hall of Fame. But yeah, well done to Brad. And he's over here for the game, isn't he? So all good as well.
I was the same as you, Jez. When the news came out, I thought, hang on a second, surely he's already in there. But if you think about it, he only stopped playing actually not that long ago. So, and players tend to get in there after they finish playing, but thoroughly deserved. And yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I follow him on Instagram and I see him running around and stuff now. I think he can still do a pretty decent job now, to be honest. He's kept himself fit.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, no, unlike the rest of us when we retire and go to fat for a little bit and everything. But yeah, I mean, Barry, I mean, what's your favourite memories of Captain Amazing?
I think one of the funniest things I can remember, I don't know if you, about 3 years ago, we had, was it a Brad Barrett Appreciation Day at the Stone X or something, I think, and everyone was handing out these little face masks of Brad, and as I collected one from the SSA, I said, it doesn't look much like him. He said, well, come here and I'll punch you on the nose, then it will do.
Well, absolutely. I mean, was it the season that we won the Europeans? The last time we won the Heineken Cup, was it? He played one of the games literally 2 weeks after having metal pins and scaffolding put in his cheekbones. And I mean, the bloke's just nails, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Bax a bad name.
Yeah, you wouldn't fancy trying to stop him doing anything, would you?
Oh, absolutely not. But a lovely guy as well, you know, always had time to speak to people after games or gatherings or whatever. Just a really nice guy and well-deserved, Brad. And if you see him on the weekend, buy him a pint, shake his hands and say hi. I certainly will do. And if I see him, and try and get him on here in the future at some point.
All you need to do is turn up to Twickenham holding a massive magnet.
Yeah, drag him along to a microphone somewhere. Those are Parish Notes is done. Let's have a word from one of our advertisers and then we'll come back and discuss the final. Well, I'll let you three guys discuss the final because I've done enough talking about it. I'll just facilitate and jump in every now and then. But we'll be back in a minute.
Listening to the Fezcast, which is proudly sponsored by the Saracen Supporters Association, and I'm Alison Davis, one of the SSA committee. For a £10 annual subscription, the SSA provides our members with monthly newsletters, virtual and in-person player events, away match ticket allocations, and we organise pre-match gatherings at away matches. We sponsor men's and women's players, and we support the Saracens Foundation Track Club on behalf of our members. On top of all that, every year we have a seasonal SSA badge, which is exclusive to members. Where else can you get that much value for a tenner? Join now at membermojo.co.uk/SSA or come and see us on match day in the Oasis at the Stone X.
This is the Fezcast.
Well, welcome back to the part two of the Fezcast, our fifth of the week. This is Friday morning, and apparently there's something big happening at Twickenham tomorrow. Something to do with another final for Saracens, and we're going on a shark hunt. Are we all looking forward to it, gentlemen?
I'm so nervous. No. Nice to have a couple of pints before the game just to settle the nerves, I think. I'm actually more nervous this year than I was last year. I went in, I mean, I always get nervous. I'm here representing both me and John as the anxiety boys of the Fezcast. But I for the first time in a long time last season, I went to that game thinking, I think we've got Tigers. I really do. And then we didn't. Whereas this season, everyone's sort of talking about us being, you know, the favourites by a decent margin. And I'm more nervous this year than I was last year. I think with Sarnason in charge, you know, he knows us better than anyone. And I think it's really going to be a big game on Saturday. I think it's going to be fine margins, basically. I don't think we are the clear favourites everyone thinks we are by any stretch.
Well, you're funny you should say that, Sam. And it's certainly, I mean, yeah, I see exactly where you're coming from there. On the reverse, though, I'm a lot more calmer about this year, primarily because of last year. And they're similar. And you know, we spoke to Theo and Toby in the week, and we brought this up and said how much, and with Kelly as well, how much the last year's final is playing on people's minds, is part of the preparation of everything. And they're very keen to say it isn't, but I don't think it's got to be there somewhere. And I know full well that there's enough of those players who were there last year are part of that final. And I think it's exactly the same as when we won the first time in 2011. The year before, we turned up and we put Leicester on the ropes. And it was only, I can't remember who, it was the New Zealand lad, when it played on the wing, who got the try in the very last minute to win the game for the Tigers. And it's how we came back from that. And the next year, we played Tigers again. And there was no way on earth that we were going to lose that game, even though it was close. And I think you're right, Sam. I think it is going to be a close game. But I can see there being, you know, 2 points in it and an Owen Farrell turnover, like it was in 2011, to win the game. And I just don't think that when it comes down to it, when you need that extra 1% or 2%, Saracens' minds will go back to last year and say, we ain't doing the same thing again. You know, and it's coming back from disappointment. And I do think that to be a champion, you first got to experience those lows to understand what it takes to be a champion. And, you know, that's why I'm more confident this year than I was last year, which, I mean, it could well be that because I'm just an eternally optimistic guy and I'm having too good a year sporting-wise because I've got the football team in the European final. And you never know, Essex might win a trophy as well. I mean, that'd be amazing. But, Barry, I mean, where do you stand on all of this?
So it would be exceptionally Saracens if we had started planning for this year's final as soon as we came off the pitch from last year's one, because you're right, there is unfinished business there. And despite what everyone says, they will have looked at that and said, OK, we build from here and we go again next season and we finish the job. I think we will. I don't think there'll be a huge amount in it. I think we'll probably win by single figures points wise. But I'm fairly relaxed. I mean, to be fair, it's out of my hands anyway, because I'm definitely not going to get picked. We look forward to seeing the team tomorrow. But we'll be all right. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy the day. Let's enjoy playing seeing Sale in a final as well, because it's good to see them back, first time since 2006. And I just hope everyone has a great day out. And to be honest, I'm more nervous about trying to get through 36,000 Luton fans from Luton train station who are heading towards Wembley for the same day. But never mind.
Yeah, I can understand that one as well. I mean, Matt, I mean, we'll ask you as well. I mean, you tend to be the Victor Meldrew of the Fezcast on occasion. You can bring the mood down when you want to. But I mean, I completely understand what everybody's saying. And yeah, I think the important thing is, I do think it's going to be a good game of rugby. I think both teams, we've got the final, the two best teams in the land this year. You know, that's without a shadow of a doubt. Both teams have played some really good rugby. Both teams have got some exceptionally good players. George Ford against Owen Farrell is one of those little subplots. But yeah, I mean, how confident are you, Matt?
I've loved the... Jez, I'm going to take a back seat and let you three chat.
As he took the words out of my mouth.
As he departs on two meandering monologues.
It's Andrea's fault, you know, the big wine. It's the big wine Andrea's fault.
Look, I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily being the Victor Meldrew here, but I think I'm a little bit philosophical. And I actually think that there's a hell of a lot more pressure on us this time round. Because, I mean, if you wind back to you and I doing these shows at the start of last season, we'd just been promoted and you and I were sitting here going, well, if we finish mid-table and qualify for the Champions Cup, we'll absolutely take that. And then all of a sudden we're rolling through the season and we've ended up in the final. And again, we both said it's still been a brilliant season. We really want to win it, but we've just been promoted. All right, we've still got all the big players. And so we were able to be a little bit philosophical about losing the final last year. And we also said that actually there is a scenario where it was the best thing for us to lose that, given how we've then responded and how we've started playing this year. So I think the final this year is the culmination of all of that. And so if we were to lose this one, I think it's a lot harder to take. I think from a very sort of narrow-minded Saracens point of view, we have to win this final. I mean, obviously, Sale fans are going to say exactly the same. It's a massive chance for them. It's a massive chance for rugby in the north, or if you believe all the social media hype, for everyone except Saracens fans. But yeah, if we play well, if we play 70-80% of what we're capable of doing, we should win this game. Not comfortably, but we should win it. We've shown that on our day, we blow sides away. We put 50 points on Leicester. We'll beat anyone playing well. So I think it's entirely down to us. The reason we're top of the league is because we've played well most weeks. And even when we played really badly, like the game against Bristol, we still found a way to win. But at the end of the day, it is a final. Odd things can happen. There could be a red card. I really hope there isn't. I hope it is the game, like Barry says, just a brilliant game of rugby, a brilliant day out for both sides, and we can both walk away game perfect, best team won on the day, end of. But yeah, I'm absolutely cacking bricks, I think, because of how much more I think this final means in the context of the last couple of years. It's massive.
I think also it'd be really easy for us to revert to type in this game and go back a couple of seasons to our kicking game, defensive game, all that kind of stuff. I think I'm really hoping that McCall and the coaches are reminding the players how we've got there this season, which is by playing this new brand of expansive rugby, and that we should be brave and go out and express ourselves doing that on a pitch that we're quite used to playing on, which Sale aren't. I think that also helps us out. This year we've gone unbeaten at home, and I'm not saying that Twickenham is our home, because that would be very Leinster-like, wouldn't it? But we've played there a lot more than Sale have, and a lot of our players have played a lot of England games there. So it's a familiar setting for us. And if we can express ourselves in a similar way to how we played at home this season and almost treat it like a home game, I think that will stand us in really good stead. But, you know, we know that sometimes it's very easy on the big occasion to sort of go back to a much more simpler way of playing.
Barry?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the weather's set fair for the weekend, so let's hope it is a good, entertaining game of rugby. Let's hope we do chuck it about a bit, and let's hope, as we were talking earlier on, let's hope even Van Ziel has one of his very good games and gets the ball away from the base very quickly.
Well, indeed, that's the interesting point you make there, Barry, actually. And I think, you know, in kind of a lot of ways, I mean, as you'd expect, a lot of the promotion has been around Farrell versus Ford, best mates together, master versus apprentice on the coaching side of things. But I think where the game is going to be won is probably in those less lauded positions and less lauded players. You know, and when you've got the likes of Jackson Ray up against Jono Ross, you know, great players Jono is, Jackson's got that big game experience. Okay, you got Maro Itoje versus Johnny Hill, but I mean, other second rows, who's going to win out there? You prop forwards, okay, Marco Riccioni. We know he's a spectacularly good player, but unless you're Italian, you probably don't realise how good a player he is. He's going to be a big difference. You know, at blindside, who's going to be playing at blindside? Is Nick Ezekwe fair? Is there potentially a magic Theo coming back into, you know, I mean, nobody said anything, but there was enough kind of hints drops there might be a surprise or two being on there. Yeah, your Nick Tompkins, your Alex Lazowskis, those people who are a little bit less superstar-y, as much as they're great players and everything, you know, how do they fit in? Are they better than their opposition numbers? Funny you should say about a red card, Matt. I know what I would be doing first up, and I would be running people down Manu Tuilagi's channel early doors, because the one thing you know about Manu Tuilagi is he'll be up there somewhere. He'll be pumped, and I bet you within 5 minutes, the potential for him taking somebody's head off and getting a red card is really, really high. Now, I hope that doesn't come back and bite me on the arse when Owen Farrell gets done for it or something like that. But, you know, that's where I would be sending Ben Earls. I'd be sending Ben Earl down Manu Tuilagi's channel and forcing him into making big hits in the hope that he makes a bit of a rickets of one. It could happen. So, I mean, there's lots of little subplots that people aren't talking about outside of those of us perhaps more in the know. We've watched Saracens play, you've watched Sale play, whatever. I mean, those they're going to be the keys to the game, aren't they, Sam?
Do you know, I think a player that's not really been mentioned at all could be the key, and that's Elliot Daly, particularly if he starts on the bench. I think you might have mentioned it earlier in the week, Jez, in one of the other episodes. Having someone like Daly, fresh, because he hasn't played as much as he probably would have wanted to this season, sitting in a 23 shirt, where we've got the whole of maybe 50-odd minutes to look at the game and go, where's the best spot to get Daly involved? Then bring him in with the exact game plan to find those holes in a tiring defence. I think Daly's the key man for us, even if he starts on the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, last 20 minutes and a fresh Elliot Daly running at you. That's going to be frightening. Now, what we do have to talk about is the refereeing team. And I know Matt's put a £5 wager out there for anybody who wants to take it. So 15,000 of us go in there. Matt's thrown a fiver out there. He reckons that we'll be walking out 10 yards behind Sale at the very least, because Luke Pearson will probably walk us back to Streatham. I'm actually quite happy that Luke Pearce is the referee. I think he's the best referee in the world at the moment, let alone the country. It's him and Barnes, and it's a real problem for the World Cup coming up, because the two best referees in the world, if England gets the World Cup final, won't be refereeing it. But Luke Pearce is great. Yeah, I thought Christoph Ridley, you know, he's got his old mate Carl over the other side. In the Champions Cup, he spent most of the time looking quite bemused. And thankfully, we haven't got Claire Hobner in the trailer either. It's Tom Foley in the trailer. So, you know, I'm quite happy with that as a refereeing team. And I will point out to Matt that the walking 10 yards back and everything, Billy is still injured. So, I mean, the likelihood of that happening is less, isn't it? But are we happy with the refereeing team, guys? Barry?
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting because obviously Wayne Barnes had last year's final, and as we say, it's Luke this year. I wonder if that is the official changing of the guard, as it were, at the top of the RFU refereeing hierarchy, if you like. And I wonder if perhaps Mr. Barnes will never quite reach that height, giddy height again. But no, it's the referee is the referee. We have to be on our game. Our discipline has to be good. We have to avoid saying too much at the wrong times and through the wrong players and just getting on with the game. I thought we did pretty well at all of that against Northampton in the semi-final. And I just hope we can do it as well on Saturday.
I think it was might have been last season in the rugby championship down south. And I think Luke Pearce went down there and refereed a game, maybe Australia, New Zealand. And what was really telling was how shocked the Australian commentary team were at how competent he was. I just remember there was a lot of compliments being paid, and you don't get an Aussie giving an Englishman compliments too often. So I think that's just testament to the quality of his refereeing at the moment, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think the one thing that Luke Pearce does better than anybody else at the moment is have the courage of his convictions. If he thinks he's seen something, he's seen it, he will act accordingly. He doesn't need confirmation from others. He will go, yes, that's it. And unless Tom Foley or whoever's in the box gets in his ear and points it out, and they very rarely do because he very rarely gets it wrong, we just get on with the game and the game flows, which I think will be to our benefit. I think Sale will want to slow this game down appreciably on the weekend. So having a referee who's going to allow it to flow within the laws is great. And I think that's all good for us, provided, as Matt says, we get on his side. other than that, anything else you want to talk about the final? I mean, we've mentioned quickly selection and everything like that. I think all of us could probably pick the team, and we would pick probably the same team that Mark McCall's going to pick, with perhaps one or two bolters here or there. You know, that I think it stands, it's, you know, it's the team that's started against Northampton. He'll continue doing that, won't he? And battle-hardened with some freshness there, ready to go. I mean, they deserve their chance. They've got their chance. They're going to finish the season in style, don't you think, Barry?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. The only real questions from the semi-final are, has Nick Ezekwe got over his HIA? Because obviously he didn't finish the game. And will it be Goody or will it be Daly starting at fullback? It wouldn't be unlike Smalley to chuck a dead cat out there and make a change. But I think he probably will stick with the same 15, assuming Nick's fit and available.
And absolutely. The one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to ask for any score predictions or anything like that. I see Sam wiping his brow there. I hate doing that because it always ends up going wrong. And we look, I am a fairly superstitious kind of guy. When I played, being an old West Ham fan, I used to do the Paul Ince trick, even though I hate Paul Ince with a passion. But I used to do the old trick of walking out last in the changing room and putting on my shirt. Before, as I left the changing rooms, why? Who knows? But you put
the spectators through that. That's horrible of you.
Where I was playing, Sam, there weren't that many spectators, mate. Don't worry about it.
That was my way of getting in. That I had a few spectators when I played.
But no, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're not about predictions. I think we all can care. I mean, when I spoke to Theo and Toby, as I said to them, the message I gave to them to give to the squad, we're going to be making those hits with the guys. We're going to be making the tackles. As I say, I still make Jack Berger's tackles for him, however many years later, 12 years later. I could still feel him in my shoulders. That tweaking him. I spend most of the game going, ooh, like that. but yeah, we just want to see a good game of rugby. And I think it's going to be a good game of rugby on the weekend, isn't it, boys?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be lying if I say I want it to be a good game and the result doesn't matter. If we win 3-0, I don't care. I think for the good of the game, this needs to be a good final. It needs to be a good game to watch. And I think, to be honest, both us and Sale over the course of this season have shown that we're both perfectly capable of doing that. So it would be good. I would encourage all of our players to re-watch the last 15 minutes of the 2011 final, and then also encourage them to make sure we don't have to go through that again.
Well, you say that, Matt. I mean, we're Saracens fans, long-term Saracens fans now between us. We don't do it easily. We never have done it easily. It's always been, whether it's been Marcelo Bosch stepping up to slam over a 50-metre conversion in the last minute, or Faz knocking over a drop goal at Gloucester, or Ben Earl scoring a try right at a depth against Northampton. We don't do it the easy way, and I don't think we would want to do it the easy way. And that's why I'm drinking the red wine, because it thins the blood and it will lessen the opportunities for a heart attack at around 20-5 on Saturday afternoon. But look, gentlemen, thank you for your time tonight. And I would also like to say a big thank you to everybody who's been involved in this week's Fezcasts spectaculars, our marathon show. So that's Kelly Brown. It's Kieran from Sail Sharks, Joe, obviously, on Monday, and Theo, Dan, and Toby Knight. And, of course, big thanks to Ollie Chapley at the club for facilitating all of those conversations for us. And thanks to you guys for joining us, but thanks to everybody who's listened in this week. And come on, the men in black.
Let's do it.
See you on the other side.
That's it. What's it, Jack Berger says? Time to go to work.
Absolutely.
Cheers, then. Thanks a lot, folks.
Cheers.
This is the Fezcast.